All right. So on this day in 1985,
yes,
the very first Blockbuster video store opened. Yes. Yeah. Now, you were a fan of Blockbuster. Yeah, I was a fan of, who wasn't a fan of Blockbuster in the day?
It was a great experience walking in, especially on a Friday night.
Oh, man,
maybe.
That place was hopping on a Friday night.
If you were planning, you would go Thursday night before everybody else to get the video you wanted
by. Right. And that's the thing. You know what? That's the thing that you don't have to worry about today.
No.
Like, everything is always available.
It is.
But you would go to Blockbuster and you'd really want to see whatever the newest release was.
Titanic, for example.
Right.
You'd see Leonardo DiCaprio's face a million times on the wall.
Yeah.
And you'd hope that there was a DVD behind it or a VHS tape behind
that. Right, right.
Yeah.
So Blockbuster's beginnings can be traced back to another company called Cook Data Services, founded by a guy named David Cook in 1978. The company's primary goal was to supply software services to the oil and gas industries throughout Texas. But it was very unsuccessful.
I can see how this is going to evolve into Blockbuster.
Well, his wife, Sandy. Yeah.
Oh, Sandy. Sandy Cook.
Yep. She suggested going into the video business. So they eventually bought into a video store franchise there in Dallas known as Video Works. Mm. When Video Works would not allow him to decorate the interior of his store with a blue and yellow design, he departed the franchise and opened the very first Blockbuster video under his own company.
There you go.
But I don't know why he was so high on that blue and yellow.
Well, idea, you get colors, you like colors. Was Sandy okay with it? Because Sandy seems like she's the brains of the operation.
Yeah, right.
This David just seems like he's along for the ride.
Yeah. So the first Blockbuster store opened on October 19th, 1985 in Dallas with an inventory of 8,000 VHS and 2,000 beta tapes.
Beta.
So Cook's experience with managing huge databases proved helpful in driving innovation within the industry. Following early success from the company's first stores, he built a $6 million warehouse in Garland, Texas, to help sustain and support future growth that allowed new stores to open quickly. And Blockbuster would often custom tailor a store's inventory to its neighborhood based on local demographics.
Oh.
Yeah.
So if it was an older neighborhood, black and white films, and if it was... You get the colored talkies if you had a more young demographic.
Right, something like that. So Blockbuster was the first video store to keep their tapes on shelves.
Oh.
While most stores kept their tapes behind the counter to prevent people from stealing them, Blockbuster organized them like a library, and this allowed customers to browse casually and quickly.
And for that reason, I don't think a Blockbuster could exist today. It has nothing to do with the VHS or the DVD or the streaming. People steal stuff all the time now. You couldn't just have these things on the wall.
I think people would steal the empty case.
These days?
Could. Yeah.
Oh, they would steal, they steal the popcorn or the checkout. They would take it all. There'd be nothing left.
Right.
The store would be up on blocks.
Busters. Blockbuster stores followed a strategy of emphasizing access to the most popular new releases, obtaining early access and stocking many copies of the new release titles with a relatively smaller depth of selection than traditional independent video stores.
That's right.
By 1988, the franchise had more than 400 locations.
Oh, that's a lot.
Now, Blockbuster also tried to expand and become a mini amusement park.
Oh, it's a bad
test
idea.
Marketing a concept they called the Blockbuster Block Party in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Indianapolis in 1994. Huh. It was an entertainment complex aimed at adults containing 8 themed areas housing a restaurant, games, laser tag arena, a motion simulator rides, and it was housed in a windowless building the size of a city block.
If you can't make it go in Albuquerque, you can't make it go anywhere.
The concept never caught on. I can't imagine why.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
Yeah. The company profited enormously from their late fees, which accrued after the 1 or 3 day rental term had expired.
That's so annoying.
In the year 2000, $800 million or 16% of their total revenue came from late fees. Yeah.
I think that's how libraries stay afloat, too, these days, is the late fees on the books.
Also in 2000, Blockbuster turned down a chance to purchase the fledgling Netflix for $50 million.
Well, that might be a moment they could go back to.
Look back on that and maybe regret that a little bit.
Where was Sandy? What did Sandy think about that?
I don't
that?
Know if she was involved at this
was
point.
Was she off
I don't
that
know.
Day? And Dave was she like, we'll pass on this.
Yeah, never mind. This crazy Netflix.
Then later he tells Sandy about it.
At the time, Netflix was just beginning its ascension into a DVD by mail and streaming giant when its CEO, Reed Hastings, met with Blockbuster to pitch the possibility of his company handling Blockbuster's online efforts. Yeah. At the time, Blockbuster couldn't conceive of how Hastings could add any value to their enormously successful enterprise.
Get out of here.
And according to Forbes magazine, Hastings was laughed out of the room.
There you go. Laugh,
but I think he had the last laugh. I think he might have had the last laugh.
I don't know. Blockbuster's not dead, Sarah.
Well, at its peak in 2004, Blockbuster consisted of over 9,000 stores and employed approximately 84,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Poor leadership and the impact of the Great Recession were major factors leading to Blockbuster's decline, as was the growing competition from Netflix, and Video On Demand and Redbox. Also, that was a thing back in the day, too. Yeah. Significant loss of revenue occurred during the late 2000s, and the company filed for bankruptcy protection in 2010. Yeah. By 2014, the last 300 company-owned stores were closed.
Mm.
And today, one remains. There is one franchise store that is open, and it is located in Bend, Oregon.
Is Dave running that? Is that
he
where
might be.
Dave and Sandy's divorced him long ago.
Yeah, probably. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Well, they're just restructuring. They're just down to one.
Oh,
they just
said
to get rid of all that
maybe.
Fat, and they're going to regrow. You'll see.
Maybe.
Don't be a doubter.
Like I said, everything comes back around, right? So maybe video rentals will be the next cool thing.
Yeah. Sandy's going to rebuild.
You'll see.
You picked out a record to go along with Blockbuster, did you?
Yeah. So in honor of their one remaining location in Bend, I thought we'd play I'm Still Standing by Elton John.
Elton John will do it. Sarah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
He's stubborn as well. Elton John, I'm Still Standing. Sarah, do remind us, why did we just play that song?
Because we were talking about Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is still standing.
Barely.
Yeah. Barely. It's on the ropes. Let's recap three things we must take away from today's Wiki Corner. Are you ready?
Yes.
Please go.
All right. Blockbuster was the first video store to keep tapes on their shelves.
Blockbuster turned down a chance to buy Netflix.
And there is one remaining Blockbuster in Bend, Oregon.
There you go. Their claim to fame in Bend, Oregon.
Bend, Oregon.
Last Blockbuster. But I've seen videos about it. People go to this store.
It's like a tourist attraction.
It's a pilgrimage.
I have a friend who went there. She
you
was in not. Oregon, not specifically for that reason, but she was like traveling and she stopped there.
How was it? Was it great?
Probably.
Do they sell t-shirts and souvenirs?
They should.
They definitely should. Do they still have the late fees?
I don't know.
Because that's where the moneymaker is.
I just learned
that a few minutes ago.
Totally.
Folks, if you want to learn more about Blockbusters here, where do they go? What do they do?
You can go to my wiki blog if you go to legends1027.com. On the homepage, there's a link that takes you to my blog where I post everything I talk about every day.
You think that Dave guy, Dave Cook, was that his name?
Yeah.
Does he do like TED Talks or anything like that? Like how to overcome, how to make good business decisions?
Right.
And
yeah.
No.
I don't know. I don't know if he was involved still at the time when they could have bought Netflix.
That's tough.
But whoever was involved... Yeah.
Because I'm in all seriousness, I'm sure there were some bright people in the room. And at the time, it must just not have seemed feasible.
Well, it was the year 2000. So
yeah,
that was the very like beginnings of really of like the internet.
Yeah,
so.
True. All right. We already did that. You get it. Now we're done. This is it?
This is it.
This is where we part ways.
Yep.
Thank you for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Back tomorrow.
Absolutely.
4:10, fresh episode.
Mm-hmm.
On Throwback Thursday. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Ed Smith will be in here with traffic in just a minute. We'll get to Queen, and we'll do more and requests, of course, at 5 o'clock on the legendary Drive at 5. Happy to tell you, Nashville Hot Chicken is now open 6 days a week, Sarah.
Wow.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You can place your order online at nashchicken.com or dine in, take out. You've got so many options at Nashville Hot Chicken.